Everyone, thank you for tuning into the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. It's April 2018, and you're listening to episode 66 of Postmodern Realities, and I'm Melanie Cogdill, managing editor of the Christian Research Journal. On this episode, I'm joined by Drew Dixon, lead editor for Explore the Bible Students at Lifeway Christian Resources. He is also director of content for Love Thy Nerd, a ministry dedicated to bringing the hope of Christ to nerds and nerd culture. He is also the former editor-in-chief of GameChurch.com, and Drew has also written extensively about video games and the Christian worldview for many online publications. Drew wrote an article for our Postmodern Realities column in our issue, Volume 40, Number 6, and it's called Comic-Con's Geek Culture and the Mission of Christ. Drew, it's good to have you on.
Yeah, good to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, so please talk about the scope of gaming and Comic-Cons and why they're so popular. And some of our listeners probably don't know what Comic-Cons actually are.
Oh, sure. Yeah, so Comic-Con is just a comic convention, and they're all over the country right now. In fact, if you live in a city or an area that's like a million plus people, there's probably one in your hometown. You may not realize it, but there probably is one. And it's bigger than just like comic books. When we talk about comic cons, we're talking about, often these include things like Star Wars and Star Trek and, The Walking Dead, which is not just comics, but it started as a comic, but now it's a massive TV show, and there's video games attached to it. And often comic cons, you'll see video games on display as well, and tabletop games, Dungeons and Dragons and board games often fit into these comic con events. And yeah, they're massive. And for instance, New York City Comic Con will see about 130,000 people each year. Or about 150,000 people actually each year. San Diego Comic-Con, which is out your way, I believe, is about 130,000 people. 200,000 plus people will attend one of the Penny Arcade Expos in Boston, Seattle, or San Antonio, which is is the largest fan convention for video games. And so I think the reason they're so popular these days is that people have always been into these things, but they're kind of taboo, you know, or they were taboo. But now with the internet and social media, you know, it's easy to find the people who are into the stuff that you are. And, despite the stereotype, people who are into geeky, nerdy stuff want to share that with other people. They don't just want to do that on their own. They want to share it with others. And so now, because of these events and because of there's opportunities to advertise them in new ways, there's a way for them to get together and share those things that they love together.
I know there's Comic-Cons everywhere, all over the world, really. And for instance, one of the biggest ones in San Diego, it's been around for almost 50 years. It was the first one was 1970. So nerd culture has been around for quite some time. So how should the church respond to this, and how should Christians respond?
Yeah. And I think it's important to sort of recognize that in the past, the church hasn't done a very good job of, I think it's fair to say, it hasn't done a very good job of acknowledging the potential value in these cultures. I think we've sort of, like, if we're honest, we've sort of defaulted to saying, this is sort of weird that people are into this. We worry that maybe it's idolatrous for some people, or that maybe it's, you know, in the past we feared that maybe it was like, presenting some false worldview. And some of it does, of course, present worldviews that we would disagree with. But we also understand that it's, you know, a lot of it's fantastic, like Star Wars. When we watch it, we're not, there's like problems with the worldview that Star Wars presents, right? But we're not necessarily embracing all of that. But there's also like this really, in Star Wars, for example, there's this really good portrayal of heroism and bravery and Self-sacrifice. That's a huge emphasis in Star Wars. And so we, as Christians, we need to sort of look at this and go like, what's good here, and what coincides with the Christian worldview? And then also what maybe isn't, and how can we think about that more critically and be aware of that? But I think the biggest thing that we're missing a lot of times is that there's a missional opportunity here. I mean, I just mentioned San Diego Comic-Con is going to have 130,000 people, 130,000 people sharing their love of geek and nerd culture. And so if we would take an interest in geek and nerd culture, like a genuine interest, we could attend these events and engage in these things and boom, have an immediate opportunity to strike up a conversation with people and build relationships with them and, earn the right through building those relationships with them to talk to them about Jesus, which is what, you know, we're ultimately called to do on this earth. So that's sort of the quick answer, is that I think the church should respond to this. The church should see an opportunity here for relationship and for mission.
So, you know, this particular area of pop culture has grown exponentially, probably because of the internet. So now you can find like-minded people, you know, that you probably couldn't have done back in 1970 when San Diego Comic-Con started. It would have been much harder to find that. So why should Christians care or pay attention to this, like, big growth in gaming and nerd culture? Which, you know, I've kind of gotten into it because my kids like it and I've always loved Star Wars. But now that there's internet, you find out all about this kind of stuff. So there's things I didn't know about before that I know about now, like Funko Pops, which are these like toys based on all these different nerd things. And, mm-hmm. you know, and it's like multi-million dollars, hundreds of million dollars in, kind of business to, you know, kind of cater to all the interests of these nerds. So why should we pay attention to this? Because it has undergrown a tremendous amount of growth in that industry.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the basic answer, I think, is that I think Jesus would care about these things. Like he would be, that's sort of like the quick answer to your question is, I said this in the article, but I said that I'm convinced that given the opportunity, Jesus would attend many of the gaming and nerd conventions across our country. So we see an example of Jesus in the Gospels. An example I used in my article is he was accused of being a glutton and a drunkard by the religious leaders of his day because he hung out with tax collectors and sinners, quote unquote sinners. You know, and so tax collectors were the enemies of Rome, or not the enemies of Rome. I'm sorry, they were working for Rome, and Rome was the enemy of the Israelites, right? And they. If you were a Jew in Jesus' day, you would see tax collectors as those who betrayed your own kinsmen and went to work for those who were oppressing Israel. And Jesus was willing to hang out with those people and accused of being a glutton and a drunkard because of how often he ate with people who were outside, you know, kind of the religious norm. And so the fact that there are so many thousands of people going to these events, I think there's a correlation there to the church. Like we ought to be willing to be accused of being, you know, geeks or nerds or whatever, for the sake of hanging out with people who are outside the church. There's so much that divides us today. There's so many things, and some of the things are worth dividing over. I mean, I understand that, but it's hard to be in the same room sometimes, I think. It's hard for some Christians to be in the same room with people who are different than them, whether it be different theologically or in their views on politics or views on certain hot-button issues of the day. But if we both love video games, or we both love board games, or we both love Star Wars, there's an immediate connection. We share a common language that we can tap into. And so I think, again, I see the mission opportunity there. And then I also think just at the base level too, there's value, in the stories that are represented by these different things, by Star Wars and Star Trek and, The Walking Dead, even, you know, we might talk a bit about some of the content of those and whether it's appropriate for Christians or not. And those are worthy conversations to have. But nonetheless, some of these entertainment properties have stories that are worth hearing and thinking about and wrestling with and having conversations with people, so that we can then, you know, talk about the most important story, the story of Jesus with them.
You're listening to the Postmodern Realities Podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest is Drew Dixon. Drew has written a Postmodern Realities article in our Volume 40, Number 6 issue, and it's called Comic-Con's Geek Culture and the Mission of Christ. To read more thought-provoking opinion pieces, please subscribe to the journal. A 6-issue subscription is now at a new lower price of $33.50, and to subscribe online, visit equip.org. At equip.org, you will also find past articles for free on related topics, such as our film review of the Star Wars The Last Jedi, our article on the Star Wars worldview, and our article on the modern board game movement. So getting back to our discussion just about nerd culture, are there any specific opportunities that present itself for the church because of the popularity of gaming and this nerd culture?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, you mentioned before, I worked for a ministry called Game Church for about 6 years. And what we would do is we would go to these conventions and actually buy a booth. We'd set up our own booth in the convention, and we would pass out these, we called them gamer Bibles, but it was just the Gospel of John with some gamer commentary in it. And, you know, with when I say gamer commentary, it's just like some gospel commentary that was contextualized to speak the language of gamers and nerds. We'd go to these conventions and tell people Jesus loves you, take a free Bible if you want one. I would encourage churches to think of creative ways they might go to these conventions and participate within them in a way that would be not just... Because people go to these conventions not to be preached at. They go to have a good time and to share something that they love. So if you're going to do ministry in those spaces, you have to do it in a way that comes alongside people as opposed to like standing above them or against them. And we see that. We would see that when we would go to these conventions. We would see people outside, Christians outside the convention with signs saying, you know, if you play Dungeons and Dragons or if you play video games, you're going to hell. You need to repent because and you can see how that would go over with people at these conventions to hear that kind of message. So we tried to do the opposite of that and come alongside those people and demonstrate that we care about them. We care about their hobby. We're curious about their hobby. We want to build real relationships with people and do relational ministry in those spaces. So that's one simple way is that you might think about how and now I'm working with a ministry called Love Thy Nerd, and we're going to try to be doing similar things. We may not have a booth in these conventions, but we're going to be making trips to these conventions for the express purpose of hanging out with geeks and nerds, getting to know them, building relationships with them so that we might point them to Jesus. I think there's lots of ways that if you're listening to this, that you can begin to do that. Start a board game group in your church, or you don't even have to be, we always have this attitude, I think, in our churches, I call it like a come to attitude about evangelism and missions. I think we ought to have a go to attitude. So instead of just having a board game meeting at your church, maybe there's a board game group in your community already, and you could just go to it regularly. Go to it once a month. Go to it every other week, and hang out with those people, play board games, get to know them, and you know. Once you get to know them enough, there's going to be opportunities to talk to them about things that really matter, like Jesus and life and death and, you know, and the gospel story.
You know, it's really interesting. Because I'm interested in nerd culture, like I said earlier, I'm in some spaces, you know, in groups and Facebook groups or, you know, different spaces on YouTube and stuff like that. And surprisingly, there have been apologetic opportunities where people have suddenly made a comment about religion or something. And then none of the conversations I've been in have been, I mean, obviously it's been with people who are, you know, not Christian, but they haven't been just, you know, trollish kind of comments. I mean, it's been ways that I've been able to engage with people. Mm-hmm. So there is definitely opportunity. And in some places, there's also board game groups at their local libraries. We don't have that in my city, but I know that there are cities that have that as well. So that's another place that people can look. Oh, yeah. So what does responsible cultural engagement in nerd culture look like for Christians?
Sure. So I think a couple things come to mind when I think about engaging culture. One is the image of God And so if God made all people in his image, that means that every piece of culture, every piece of media that we consume is made by someone who reflects in some way the glory of God and has inherent value simply by the fact that they're a human being. And so we shouldn't be surprised to find God's beauty, God's truth, God's goodness displayed in culture. In fact, we should look for it because it's there. And even if it's a piece of culture made by someone who's an atheist, that person's TV show, or, you know, it's not in, and with his TV shows, it's not just that person, you know, there's hundreds of people that work on TV shows or a video game or a board game. We're going to see something of God's truth, God's beauty, God's goodness on display in that piece of, you know, that piece of fiction. I think also the fall is important to consider. So though we were made in God's image, we, of course, we know that we're broken. Our sin, our choice to rebel against God, has broken us. And so the image of God isn't as visible, as clear in us as it should be, had we not rebelled against God. And so we're also going to see brokenness in the media and the things that we consume. And so I think a question we need to ask as we engage this culture is, like, you know, is that question of what's good, what's true, what's beautiful here, and then also what's broken here. And by the way, there's I think there's a difference between there being brokenness present in something as opposed to brokenness being celebrated, you know, or is sin being celebrated? That's something that we can't get behind, or we shouldn't get behind, I think, as Christians. If a piece of media is saying, like, look how wonderful promiscuity is, premarital sex or something, you know, it's so great. As Christians, we want to go, like, no, that's not what scripture says. That's not true. You know, we would not want to celebrate that. So I think that's kind of like, those are just some real basic guide rails, I think, for engaging culture, is to ask those questions of what's good, what's true, what's beautiful. Let's look for that and then celebrate those things we see in culture. And then let's also be aware that we're going to experience some brokenness here, and let's make sure it's not being celebrated. Now, if brokenness is being exposed, that can be a good thing. And like the Bible does that all the time, right? It shows people making really horrible, self-destructive decisions. Not too long ago, I had to write a Bible study on 2 Samuel. David makes some horrible decisions in 2 Samuel. And his relatives make, his sons make some horrible and destructive decisions that have tremendous impact on other people. The Bible's not celebrating adultery in the story of David and Bathsheba, right? But it's exposing that to be a horrible and self-destructive decision, and also, you know, relationally destructive decision. So yeah, that's kind of some basic guide rules I would encourage Christians to think through as they engage these things. There's dangers in all these things. Like, there's dangers in video games of addiction and, content that's not appropriate for all people and that kind of thing. We need to be aware of those things and have our, engage these things with discernment and with accountability too. Accountability with other brothers and sisters in Christ who are willing to speak into our lives and help us make sure we're engaging these things responsibly.
And I think too, when we did our future article, which is free online on modern board gaming, you know, there's some things in the past that Christians just didn't know anything about. And so they said, because it had this theme, it was therefore evil, like Magic the Gathering. But, you know, when you look into Magic the Gathering, it's really a lot of math, actually, with just a pasted on theme. And so some of the things that are good for Christians to realize, okay, these are not going to put you into, you know, some spiritual harm. But then, like you said, there might be video games, there are board games, they would be asking you to make certain moral decisions that might not be something that you would engage in, something really serious. You know, you talked about The Walking Dead, there's some zombie games out there that, like Dead of Winter, that, you know, ask you to make some moral choices about, you know, in the game. And so how do you approach that as a Christian? So those are some things, like you said, that there are some dangers and things that we need to be aware of that, just, you know, doesn't mean that we should stay away from all of nerd culture, but we just need to use discernment. I think that's true for anything that we're engaging in when it comes to cultural apologetics. So what did cultural engagement look like in Jesus' day and like in the early church? And what do you think it should look like today when we talk about cultural engagement?
Sure. Yeah. You know, I mentioned Jesus earlier, like he had this practice of eating meals with people outside the Jewish religion. He wasn't just hanging out with the religious elite of his day. He made sure he hung out with people outside the camp, you know, as it were. And so I think there's that example of just making space in our lives to hang out with people who are different than us. And gaming, board gaming, nerd culture, all these things are prime opportunities to do that. But, you know, I also think we could look to Paul. That's probably the most common one that people talk about. And his sermon on Mars Hill demonstrates, right, that he had an understanding of Greek culture. He was aware of the Greek poets of his day and how those had influenced people. So in other words, he was kind of able to speak the language of the world that he lived in, the world outside the church, outside the Christian church, outside of Judaism. And so I think there's an example there for us. And it's not that everybody needs to be like, I don't want anyone to hear me saying like, you need to know everything there is to know about The Walking Dead, or you need to read every Star Wars, you know, novel or watch every Star Wars movie. I mean, there's so much to geek and nerd culture that I don't think any of us could consume it all, or should, or it would be healthy for any of us to consume it all, right? But I do think that there's an example there from Paul and from Jesus of being curious about these things. There's a lot of, and what I mean by that is just asking people who are into things. Well, you know, why do you like that? Why are you so into Star Wars? What's it about? Like, Minecraft is a big video game these days that a lot of people who are listening to this, if they don't play Minecraft, they probably know someone who does, or they probably have a child.
Yeah.
Their kids probably play it. And so ask your kids, like, why are you so into this game? Like, what's it about? What's the appeal? And maybe like if your kid plays Minecraft, go play with them. But you know, it's really hard to love people if we're constantly kind of looking down on the things that they're into. Part of loving people is taking a genuine interest in their hobbies and a genuine interest in their interests. And so, yeah, I think it's, for me, it's really that simple. Is there's this tremendous opportunity for us to just take a genuine interest in the people around us by asking, like, why are you into Minecraft? And not like asking it as in like, what's wrong with you? That's the way we tend to ask that. Like, why are you into this? And what we really mean is, what's wrong with you? But really ask that question with a genuine curiosity and with a genuine desire to learn why people like these things. And hey, maybe we might grow to like them too. Maybe it might lead to a relationship, a friendship, you know, and an opportunity to share Christ with others. So we don't need to necessarily go and celebrate everything that's in culture, but I do think we should have a genuine curiosity about it and a willingness to understand our neighbor and why they like the things they like, so that we might show love to them.
So how can Christians engage the culture without losing the gospel, without, you know, just being so overwhelmed? And, you know, like you said, there's no way you can consume all of this, right? So what's the balance there, and how do you effectively engage it with discernment and not be like, okay, what's wrong with you, but also, you know, just having just a real heart, like you were saying, these are specific kind of people that you need to have a heart for these kinds of people. And, you know, I think nerd culture has definitely broadened. So it's become more hip to be a nerd. Yeah. But if you've ever gone to certain conventions or your local gaming store or your local board game store, sometimes there are some very, like, maybe not socially adept people there that you wouldn't normally see around. And so that might, you know, not, that's the only community they have or whatever. So how can we, you know, responsibly encourage being involved in these kinds of things and not lose the gospel.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think what you brought up about those like folks at game stores or, you know, different, you know, board gaming communities and things that might be kind of socially awkward. Like, I think sometimes in the church, we have this tendency to reach out to people who we think are going to bring a lot to the table in our churches. Like, you know, we have this like attitude, like if we could reach this person who's super influential and popular in our community, then like that person would make a really big difference for the kingdom. I think it's sort of a messed up mindset. Like Jesus didn't just go after like the people who are like influential and powerful. You know, he hung out with lepers and all sorts of different stripes of people, different sorts of types of people, you know? So yeah, we ought to intentionally think about how can we reach introverts who, or socially awkward people, like how can we be welcoming and loving and kind to them and how can we meet them where they're at? That's sort of a side note, but, how do we do this without losing the gospel? I think that, the simple answer I think is accountability. Hopefully we all have churches and brothers and sisters in Christ who are on this mission with us together. So like if you want to start doing ministry in your local, in some local gaming group, yeah, have someone do that with you. Don't go out and do that on your own. Have some other people that can help keep you accountable to doing that well and doing that responsibly. Set some rules for yourself about how you're going to engage culture. So for me, my wife is a big part of that, you know, I invite her to help me make, you know, good decisions about when I will and when I won't play video games. So I make sure that those things don't become a replacement for me and my kids, for my time with her and my kids. You know, those are just some simple tips, but yeah, I think the worst that I think that it would be an error to just engage it without any thought, but I think it would also be an error to sort of be fearful and refuse to engage, this, you know, nerd culture at all, because, you know, then we're pulling ourselves away from culture completely. You know, we're putting ourselves above the culture and in a position where we'll never be able to build relationships with a lot of people. We'll never be able to have, you know, some of these life-giving, potentially life-transforming conversations because the gospel is life-transforming. I think we need to guard against both those dangers, just sort of like thoughtless engagement where we just engage it however and whenever, and there's not really any guide rails around it. But then also guard against this idea of falling into the trap of kind of putting ourselves over and above culture, like we're too good for it or too holy for it or something, such that we don't ever have an opportunity to engage people. Engage people who are different than us and who we might be able to point to Christ otherwise.
Well, how could Christians start reaching the nerd culture with the gospel? Do you have any tips for us?
Yeah, I mentioned this earlier, but I would encourage people who are listening, like if you're, it might be like, this might be the simplest step is just to start asking questions. You know, you have a friend at work who is really into board games and you know, he's talked about it. And the one time he talked about it, you kind of shot him down. We're like, well, I don't do that stuff. How about next time you see him be like, hey, tell me about this board game that you play. Ask them about why is your friend really into The Walking Dead? Why do they watch it so often? Why do they have parties at their house every week to watch, you know, that show? Because people do that. I would say just a simple good first step would just be to ask questions, be curious, and ask genuinely. Don't ask accusatorily, but ask genuinely. And then another way would be to just go to the places in your hometown where this kind of stuff is happening. Maybe your church could sponsor Love Thy Nerd to do ministry in a Comic Con in your hometown, and we could come and help you and equip you with some tools to reach people at that Comic Con. Or maybe you could start a gaming night in your church or in your home. Could be even better. Like invite your friend. You may not even be into board games at all, but you have a friend who is. Invite them over to dinner and say, hey, bring that board game. Let's play that. Find a gaming night that's already happening in your community and just start going and playing games with people. Gaming can be such a tremendous opportunity to connect with people around the gospel and to build relationships and point people to Christ.
Well, and another good thing to do too for parents is to maybe start some of these with your kids and invite other kids into that space. I know my son has invited some of his friends to do some board games. And, you know, there's a lot of board games out there now that are not maybe the typical ones that you knew about growing up in the modern board game hobby. And it's fun to see kids connect, like middle school kids connect over a board game, you know, for a couple of hours. So those are ways that you can reach out, and then you can invite other kids in the neighborhood and all kinds of things like that. So there's a lot of ways that you can really make this an outreach, and that's for sure. Well, finally, I want to end with some fun rapid fire questions for Drew. So Drew, baked potatoes or mashed potatoes?
Mashed potatoes.
And what is your favorite video game, or what are you currently playing right now?
I am currently playing the downloadable content of Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild on the Nintendo Switch, and it probably is one of my top 10 or so all-time favorite games. It's a great one. Maybe my favorite game of all time is probably Shadow of the Colossus. So they just did there's a new HD remake of that as well, so it's kind of back in the cultural conversation now as well, so that'd be worth... It's kind of a dark game, so I would warn listeners about that. But it's got some really powerful themes to it, I think, that are worthy of our consideration. So yeah.
And do you have a favorite board game, or are you playing any board games right now?
My favorite board game is probably Scythe. It's a Stonemaier Games kind of worker placement sort of, but also has some combat elements to it. It's kind of a mix of like Settlers of Catan, which some people will have heard of, and like Risk, which is sort of a really, you know, really popular game. So that's probably my favorite. I think you mentioned you're playing Charterstone. Are you playing Charterstone?
Yes, our game group, which is actually... it's a bunch of Christians and not people from our church. We are playing a game... by Stegmaier Games, which also did Scythe, and it's called Charterstone, yeah. And it's something called a legacy game, and it's so fun. It's worker placement. And if you want to know what that is, you need to read our article on modern board gaming, because we describe to you what your things are. There's a lot of like lingo.
Much terminology, right?
Yeah. I love that game. It's a lot of fun, and it's a series of 12 games, and we've had one so far, and this week we're going to play hopefully two or three more, so that'll be fun.
Nice.
So
yeah.
What is the catalyst that got you into nerd culture, and how old were you when you got into it?
Oh gosh, I mean, I've been playing video games since I was a kid, since I was probably, I mean, I remember my parents bought NES and Nintendo, the original Nintendo, when I was probably like in the, you know, second or third grade, something like that. And I've been playing video games ever since then. And it was when I was in college that I sort of, or seminary, actually, I guess, when I sort of realized, hey, I could do this and explore games from a Christian perspective. That's when I started taking my Christian worldview and thinking, like, how does this relate to my hobby, and how could I help the church think through this and that kind of thing? So, yeah.
Well, thanks, Drew, for being a guest on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me. This was great.
Today's guest is Drew Dixon. Drew wrote an opinion piece for our Postmodern Realities column in our Volume 40, Number 6 issue, and his article is called Comic-Cons, Geek Culture, and the Mission of Christ. To read more thought-provoking opinion pieces and Postmodern Realities columns, please subscribe to the journal. A 6-issue subscription is now at a new lower price of $33.50. To subscribe online, visit equip.org. We'd like to hear from you, so connect with us on social media. Like the Bible Answer Man Facebook page, and follow CRI, Christian Research Journal, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Bible Answer Man on Twitter. Follow the Bible Answer Man on Instagram, and please subscribe to the Bible Answer Man channel on YouTube. If you like this episode, please subscribe to the Postmodern Realities podcast on iTunes and rate and review our podcast. When you rate and review our podcast, it helps others discover our content. And please share this episode on your social media accounts. Be sure you tune in daily to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by CRI President Hank Hanegraaff, who answers your questions live on air. To ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Hank is also regularly streaming live on Facebook and YouTube, so please check equip.org for dates and times. In addition, head to iTunes and subscribe to Hank Unplugged, Hank's new audio podcast. Follow Hank off the grid, where he has in-depth conversations with some of the brightest minds discussing topics you care about. So until our next Christian Research Journal author conversation, thank you for listening to the Postmodern Realities Podcast.